Well, good evening. You know, when you have time to just think, you think about a lot of things that are rather important, don't you? At least I do. I don't remember, and I was telling Tommy this after church this morning, I don't remember a time in the last 21 years that I've had the opportunity to just be away and just read and think and enjoy Scripture just for me. I mean, most of the time I'm preparing a lesson or I'm, you know, preparing a Bible class or, you know, I'm doing something for a lesson to present. And you have to find moments where you can just read for yourself. And I enjoyed that this past few weeks. In those moments of being able to just think about family, think about my church family, think about my life in general, what's been going on the last, you know, 47 years, I've had the opportunity to just enjoy a lot of memory, a lot of, you know, thinking back to conversations and experiences. And so I enjoyed that over the last few weeks. And I did miss you, but I want you to know that I also thought about you a lot, but I thought about just experiences in general and just kind of where we are in life. I was thinking also, and it was either 2003 or 2004, I've had moments in my life where I've been unbelievably busy with just preaching and teaching. I think in either 2003 or 2004, there was one month, in a one-month period, I delivered either by way of preaching or teaching 37 lessons in 1 month. Now, generally speaking, you know, without any hiccups or anything, you know, I would preach twice on Sunday and then give a Bible class on Sunday, and then on Wednesday have a Wednesday Bible class. So that would be four every week. You can do the math. So doing 37, I had a lot of extra opportunities to speak. I remember speaking at a men's rally. I can remember doing a youth rally during that time. And I remember speaking at a few other functions that while I was in Salem, Arkansas. All that happened in 1 month when I was living in Salem, Arkansas. And I've had months where I've been really busy, but not that busy. But 37 lessons, that was just a crazy amount of study. And I can remember, I mean, you know, our kids, Sam, at that particular time, was right at kindergarten age. And so I got to thinking about Sam, and I thought, I remembered when we took Sam to kindergarten, he loved it. He could not wait to go to kindergarten. Went the first day, and I was thinking back to this. Went the first day of kindergarten. He came home that day. The next morning, I said, Sam, it's time to go to school. He said, Dad, I don't think I'm going back. And I said, well, son, that's not really an option. You know, you've started school. We've got to go to school. And he said, yeah, but it's cutting into my hunting time. At 5 years old, you know, kindergarten was cutting into his hunting time. Robert, you can relate to that, right? Things cutting into your hunting time. So, but I got to process a lot and think a lot. And it made me think about, you know, some of the family reunions I've been to. Let's be honest. How many of you, raise your hand, be serious. How many of you have crazy family? Now, hopefully you're not pointing to someone sitting beside you, but how many of you have crazy family? Okay, we've got some crazy family, right? So I was thinking about my family. I thought about this over the last few weeks. I thought about this. I went to a family reunion, and I was preaching at Chisholm Hills at the time, and I had to teach a Bible class that Wednesday night. I had been gone the weekend before and rushed back in on Wednesday, you know, like I do most of the time in a whirlwind, got a shower and headed to church. So I got to church and I was telling everyone about my family reunion experience just very briefly at the beginning of class. And I said in class, I got to see a lot of buns and skirts. Now, that caught some attention, and I thought, well, wait a minute, what did I just say, you know, buns and skirts? Well, for those of you who don't know, I have a lot of family members who are Pentecostal who have the bun hairdos and the long blue jean skirts. And that's what I was referring to, my Pentecostal family. And that, once I thought about that, I thought, well, that sounded awful. But I remembered why that memory came to my mind over the last few weeks. I don't know. Other than the fact about family reunions. We have crazy family. I'm crazy family to them, right? But I got to thinking about the church. We're kind of a crazy family, aren't we? I mean, let's be honest. We're not all the same. I mean, I look out, we look different. We've got different likes and dislikes, and we've got different hobbies, and we've got different ways we see certain things in Scripture, and we've got different viewpoints about life and about certain doctrinal things that we're kind of crazy. We're a crazy group, right? When you think about it, the world looks at the church, doesn't it? A group of people who, in a lot of ways, other than faith, don't have a lot in common, and yet are able to be unified, accomplish things in faith with God's help that only God could do. And I'm sure the world is just perplexed at that. How a group of people who, think about this, you would never know me outside of the fact that we have a common faith. I would never know you outside of the fact that we have a common faith. And honestly, you wouldn't know one another unless you're related. You wouldn't know one another. I mean, we're starting to be overrun by people from Louisiana right here in Texas. How does that happen? Well, because of faith. Faith is what brings us together. You know that great confession that Peter made in Matthew 16? The Hebrew writer kind of talks about that in chapter 10, verse 23, when he says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering." Now, I don't think that Matthew was recording the words of Jesus so that we could connect the verse with the Hebrew writer in Hebrew chapter 10, verse 23. And I don't think that the Hebrew writer, in context of what he's writing, is necessarily writing about Matthew 16 and following the passage that Bill read a few moments ago. But one thing is common in those two verses, a confession of hope. Peter had placed his hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Well, you know, some people say this or that. Well, okay, okay. But I want to know specifically, what do you say? Because it's not about what other people think about Jesus Christ. It's what you personally think about Jesus Christ, Peter. Who do you think that I am? Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, in context, you remember, Jesus says, "Peter, you're right. And I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not keep me from doing what God sent me here to do. And that is to establish, get this, a family who all have the same confession of hope." What a beautiful picture we have, get this, of a crazy family reunion every Sunday. Every Sunday. And so let's talk a little bit about that. You know, the Bible says a lot about the church and specifically about, you know, what we experience in the church. And we are kind of like a crazy family, but you know what? We're God's family. It's kind of like this, you know. I can talk about my family, but you know what you can't do? Talk about my family. Right? And you can talk about your family, but you know what I can't do? I can't talk about your family. And so when we think about the fact that the church is God's family, you know, not every aspect of the church is always positive. Not every aspect of the church is always just the best, right? There are some negative aspects of the church. But you know what? I choose to focus on the positive. if I were to just focus on the small percentage of negative things that happen, and specifically in this congregation of the Lord's people, you know, I could be a downer if I focused on that 5% that's negative. But you know what? Instead of looking at all of our differences and looking at the times when we say things we shouldn't or do things we shouldn't, how about let's just focus on the fact that we belong to God and that we are His family and God is proud of us. As a matter of fact, Paul prayed for the family of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. A prayer that Paul writes in Scripture about his family. Notice this, verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You want to pray a prayer for the Fulshear Church of Christ? Pray that prayer. Pray that prayer. Paul says, I bow my knees and I thank God for my family. And notice at the end, this is the church where the manifest wisdom of God might be made known, right? And so his family, the church, is what he's praying for. How often do you pray for your spiritual family? We need to be praying often for our spiritual family. We struggle. Life is difficult. There are challenges, and we need to be encouraging one another to make it through, to be better. But let's be honest. I realize there's some criticism against the church. When people look at the church and look at what's going on in the church, some of the criticism is valid, right? I mean, we know people and we know how people act. And some of that criticism is certainly valid. But let's not think about all of that. Let's think about the positive. Doesn't the Bible say that we need to think about what is good, what is pure, what is lovely? And I hope if we think about those things, that will leave a favorable feeling personally about the church. And I hope that as I live, not just think about it, but as I live that out, it'll leave a favorable impression to those who are outside the body of Christ and the community in which we reside. So as I've been thinking and processing, and as I've had opportunity, I've thought a lot about our spiritual family here at Fulshear and the blessings that we enjoy here. And one of the things I want to say is, number one, this is family. It's my family. It's your family. You know, again, I can't control what happens with another congregation of God. I can't control even what happens in this family. But certainly, let me just say, I'm not going to worry what's going on in our brotherhood at large, because, and I realize they are extended family, but this is my immediate family. And so I'm thankful that your family, I'm thankful that this is family, and I hope that you feel exactly the same way. Now let's look back at Matthew 16 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13 and following. When he makes that good confession that Bill read a few moments ago, and Jesus answers in verse 17 and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now mind you, the church is the family that Paul was referring to in Ephesians 3 that we read a moment ago. So this is the family of God. "That I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, he revealed that. Now, it's not the first time that Jesus revealed that. You remember the very first time Jesus revealed who he was to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Just an interesting dynamic that the very first person that Jesus reveals himself to, a Samaritan woman at a well, that revealed a lot about that woman. And it's just, that story is just an amazing story in and of itself. But here, this kind of makes sense, right? The guys that he selected, you know, he's revealing himself to them. You're right, Peter. I'm exactly who you think I am. And so this idea of building a family, not just a church, but a family, is all throughout the Scriptures. Again, there's so much in Ephesians chapter 5. We're not going to take time to read it all, but turn to Ephesians 5 with me, if you don't mind, for just a moment. I know that I've pointed this out before, and you've had others point this out. I'm not the only one. But you might remember in verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." This is a group of people, a family, that he has sacrificed himself for, that as Paul's referring to it. Now, and again, if you just look at the latter part of this, verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This teaching on marriage is really about being married to Jesus, forsaking all others, and being committed only to Jesus and being a part of his spiritual family. He uses the family dynamic of marriage, husband and wife, to refer to his relationship, the people that he has given himself for, the church. And so the church is at the very center of God. You know, there are a lot of people who say, you know, I'll take my spirituality, but I don't really want the church, and I don't really want religion. You're going to have a tough time reading Scripture and separating the church for which Jesus died and spirituality. The two are just interwoven. They're connected. The church is at the very center of God. And again, you see the church being established in Acts chapter 2 with the preaching of Peter, the first time that they had the opportunity to enter the kingdom, the family of God, was at the preaching of Peter. The Bible, we could go through a lot of different pictures or images of the church. The Bible talks about the church in a lot of ways. I just picked out a few. The church is referred to in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, as a building. We are a building made without hands, the Hebrew writer would say. This is the building of God. Not a physical structure, but referring to the people, the church. It's a body, right? In Ephesians chapter 5, we looked at verse 25. If you go up a couple of verses to verse 23, then we notice that this is a body. You might remember in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, the church is the body of Christ. You notice in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6, one of the seven ones that Paul mentions is that there is one body. There's just one group of people, but that body in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, is one of the images, one of the many that we have of the church. The church is also a bride. Jesus is the groom. The church is a bride. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, that's the imagery that Paul gives there. Now, I got to thinking about this, back to our crazy family analogy. I don't think that I've ever heard this. And I've done a lot of weddings. And not one time have I ever heard this. I don't think I've ever heard it. And I don't really think you've ever heard it. Have you ever heard anyone say to a groom or to someone, "That is such an ugly bride"? Has anyone ever, Keith, you ever heard that? Okay, you've never said it though, right? Okay, good. I mean, who says that? Who would say that? What an ugly bride. But yet, when we think about the family of God and we think about our relationship, you know, when we sort of put down the church, in a sense, that's what we're saying to Jesus. What an ugly bride you have, Jesus. I mean, again, we're not perfect. I mean, that's the whole reason we need Jesus, right? If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Him. But because we're not perfect, sometimes we don't act perfect. And sometimes we act in ways that are unbecoming or downright sinful. You know what? He loves us. He loves us anyway. But why? Let me do this. Okay, this is another thought here. Let me do this. Husbands and wives, just husbands and wives. How many of you are married right now? Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hands up. How many of you have had an argument with your spouse that was not very pretty? Okay, did everyone still keep their hand up? Did anyone put their hand down? Okay, now you can put your hand down. Did anyone put their hand down? Okay, Gail. Okay, oh, just making sure. All right, you know, sometimes as husbands and wives, as brides and grooms, we get aggravated with one another, don't we? Now, not Tommy. Tommy, you've got the perfect wife. Why would you ever be aggravated? I mean, you know, I realize, but we do that. Yeah, tell you one of the major arguments that, I mean, we've had several. Right before we got married. See, Christy's not here. I can do this, right? Bill said, you can get set up, but see, Christy's not here. We'll just believe it. No one's here to refute it. Okay, so on the rehearsal for our wedding, okay, we're going to the rehearsal. Christy and I are in separate cars. She gets pulled over for speeding. Well, first of all, it's not the only time Christy's been pulled over for speeding, let me just say. But on our rehearsal night, so she gets to the rehearsal and she's a little upset, teary-eyed, and I'm going, women, right? You know, supposed to be an awesome moment. You know, we're going to get hitched tomorrow. This is going to be great. And she's upset. I'm like, what are you upset for? What did I do? What's wrong? Got a ticket. I was like, you couldn't cry your way out of that? I mean, come on, tell the guy, listen, I'm about to get married. I mean, he'll have sympathy on you, do anything. But I was upset that we were starting our married life with a ticket. True story. Not just a preacher story. Of course, that indicates that some of these are preacher stories, I guess. But you know what? I still love her. Even though she got a ticket, I still love her. I don't talk about my bride. I don't put her down. You know what? We've had some arguments where I was just a jerk. I know that's hard for you to believe. And you know what? She still loves me. Right? Because we're committed to one another. We don't get frustrated and talk about one another and just hate one another. No, we're husband and wife. We are, in relationship to Jesus, a bride. He is our groom. But the church as a whole is His bride. And we don't put down the church. This is family, and it's my family. It's your family. And for better or for worse, we love each other. Amen? But I think about not only that blessing. Another blessing is the people that are in this family. How many of you have several aunts or uncles or other relatives in the family, but there's just one particular relative that you sort of like a little more than the others? Anyone? You understand what I'm saying? How have you got that? Okay, you've got that one aunt that from the moment you could walk, she thought you were the best thing since peanut butter, right? And she treated you better than anyone else. And so you kind of like her better than your other aunts or uncles or relatives, right? Or maybe that's the way it is with a grandparent, right? It's that way in the church. There's some people that you just connect with better, don't you? Maybe it's because when you see them when you walk in the building, they have that smile. Or like the candy lady, she hands out that piece of candy. Or whatever the case is, you've got that one person that you just can't wait to see when you walk through those doors. Because they make you feel important. You know, that's the thing about the people in this family. Is that we have those kinds of people in this family that just make us feel good. They make us... And so in moments of reflection, I'm not going to say who I was thinking about because that would get me into some trouble. I hope it's you that I was thinking about. But I got to thinking about certain people, and not just here. I got to thinking about people that, as I have preached for several churches through the years, I got to thinking about people that I was just close to. And in moments of reflection, you appreciate those people. You remember certain cards that they sent. Or you remember certain words they said. Or you remember in difficult moments how they lifted you up when you needed someone to lift you up. Kind of like holding those hands that were feeble up so that you can continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And it's the people in this family that sort of make this place a special place. I got to thinking about this. You remember Jesus said, Peter, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Right? I wonder if Peter thought, why me? I mean, when you start to think about, you know, one moment Peter is walking on water, the next minute he's drowning. Right? I mean, one minute he's confessing you're the Messiah, the next minute he's claiming he doesn't even know the Messiah. Right? One day he says, I'll die for you, and the next day he denies the Lord. I wonder if Peter processed those words and thought, why me? Lord, why are you depending on me? Because Peter was a part of the family. You remember when he spoke those words of peace to Peter? Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Yes. Okay. Are you sure you love me? Yeah. Really, you love me? Yes, Lord. Take care of my sheep. God, because you are a part of His family, He's looking at some of us and He's saying, I've got plans for you. And I want you to step up to the plate. And I want you to fulfill the role that I have for you. And I realize on a Sunday night, I'm pretty much talking to the cream of the crop, and I don't mind saying that. And it's you that if Jesus were here today, He'd say, I want to give you ... this responsibility, this mission, this opportunity, because we're family. And then number three, one of the greatest blessings of this family is the positive influence that we are making in this community. Again, think about it. We can do great things. The Bible says, let your lights shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what happens when people see the good that we do? God gets the credit, not me, not you, but God. People will say, you know, that's a good group of people. I don't know a whole lot about them, but I know they're serving, and I know they're letting their light shine, and I know that as a result, it's making a difference. And people will say that about us. Think about it. Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I mean, through the years, over 2,000 years, the church has had one attack after another. And you know what? It didn't stop us. Now, I believe in reference, Jesus is saying that hell itself couldn't keep Jesus from dying on a cross and establishing His family, the church. I think that's what the reference is in Matthew 16. But I also think it's true that because we belong to Jesus, that the gates of hell will never stop us. That we will always be able to do what God intended for us to do. And again, let me just remind you of those words when Paul prayed for his spiritual family. Look again at verses 20 and 21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. There is no end to what we are able to accomplish right here as a spiritual family, the Fulshear Church of Christ. I just had moments where I got to think about you and this church and got to think about all of the good things that we can accomplish. And I'm thankful, for one, that the elders allowed me that opportunity. I'm thankful that I had moments where I could just reflect on Scripture, reflect on my faith, and reflect on my family. Isn't it a great thing to be a Christian? Amen. It is. And isn't it a great thing as a Christian to be a part of the spiritual family at the Fulcher Church of Christ? I mean, we've got so much going on, so much good happening right here. And I'm thankful for every single member who contributes in some small way to making us the family that we are. If you're not a part of the family tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus Christ to accept Him as Lord, to confess Him as Lord of your life, to give your allegiance to Him and repent of your sins and follow only Jesus Christ, to be immersed in the waters of baptism, then we encourage you to come as together we stand and as we sing.